Well, good morning. God is good. Amen. And all the time. Well, it is a joy to be here today as we are celebrating Thanksgiving this week. I pray you all have wonderful plans to see family and friends. I want to share a few announcements with you. First off, there is no midweek service, so don't come on Tuesday or on Wednesday, or else you're going to be really confused, because you're going to find no one here. There is no midweek service, and there's no prayer time on Monday. If you meet with me on Monday morning or Monday afternoons, we will not be having time this Monday. But that doesn't mean you can't pray. You can still pray on Monday at noon. The office will be closed Tuesday at noon, and then it will be closed through the Thanksgiving holidays. So if you need something from the office, please don't hesitate to call in on Monday or up until Tuesday at 12. I want to share, just thank you so much. We had 271 Christmas boxes that were filled this year, so praise the Lord. And then a really big announcement, very important, as we have Carols 2023 coming up on December 10th. I know the choir's been practicing hard and the orchestra as well. And so that's December 10th at 6 p.m. At 6 p.m. Don't come at 10 p.m. At 6 p.m. And so it'll be a wonderful time. This year we're only doing one service, one time. So it will be very, very full. Come here early and make sure you get a seat and also a parking spot. We'll have overflow parking as we need in the up on the pasture area. I guess it's not a pasture anymore, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And then also in the back on the grass area, there'll be plenty of parking there. So get here early and be a part. I just want to share as before I pray, many of y'all know, and it wasn't just for me, but it's been a really hard week for all of us as we walk through multiple celebration of lives. There was three funerals that I had this week, or three that I was either a part of or went to. And so I just ask that we just continue to pray for each other. Grief is real. And I haven't even had time to process. And so as I wake up this morning and I prepare my heart to preach, I just want to be very transparent and vulnerable with you that my heart's heavy. And so I ask that you be praying for me, and also as we pray for the body of Christ and those who are traveling today also, but that we would just pray that God would give us peace in the midst of some very painful times. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I also want to just lift up Israel as we pray as well. So let's pray. Father, you are a good, good Father. And Lord, there are so many things around us that are painful, Lord. A lot of difficult situations. Father, there are those who have lost loved ones. And Lord, I pray that you would give them peace and strength. Father, I pray for the body of Christ here at Luke 4:18 as we mourn the passing of dear friends. Lord, that we would remember that we don't mourn as those with no hope, for we have hope in you. And Father, I also just pray today that as I open up your word, Lord, that you would just speak in and through me. Put me on the front row, Lord. Prepare my heart, Father. My heart is heavy. But Father, I know, Lord, that it is not dependent on me today. Lord, I am desperately dependent upon you. And so, Father, speak. And Lord, I do pray for the nation of Israel, Lord. We pray that you would give them peace, Lord. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we ask that you would give guidance and clarity as they walk through this war. But Father, most of all, we pray that your name would be lifted high and glorified in all that's said and done. Father, we love you and we know that you are here with us today. May we have clean hands and a pure heart that we can ascend the hill of the Lord. Father, we love you, and may your name be lifted high. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us today. On behalf of the Praise Ministry, we just want to say that we are so thankful for you. Thank you for singing with us together as the body of Christ as we go toward the ministry that he has for us. Why don't you stand and tell someone what you're thankful for today as we begin to sing.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
If you're thankful today, say amen. The work that we have together, the work that Christ has given to us all, is a sacrifice of praise, but it's the only work that we need to be in because it is eternal. Let's sing today. These are the days of Elijah. Let's sing together.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Sing it out.
Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. The dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
Like him. He's our provider. Let's sing.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
We will see him coming on the clouds, but until that day, we have the assurance that he has saved us.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation and purchase of God, born of his Spirit. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Sing, my hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing, Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Sing it again.
My
as we continue to worship. There's so many things for us to be thankful for today. Chief of which is our salvation. Second of which is the church that He has given to us to grow together in Him and go for the gospel. so many things that we don't deserve that he has given to us. So let's bless his name as we end our time of corporate worship today. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name today.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name and sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Sun comes up.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. In love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Sing, bless the Lord.
Yes, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that your praise would be forever on our lips, that we would not take for granted the gift of the gospel, the gift of salvation that you've given to us, and that we would not take that gift and store it up, but that we would give it away, that we would go for you and all the world and continuously bless your name together. In Jesus' name, amen. And on that day.
And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Oh, wow.
worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that in every season we'd have a reason to give thanks and that you would show us what that is. We pray that we would abide in you. I pray that in every circumstance that we would look back to Scripture for what we are to do and that we would found our life on that you would be our cornerstone, because we pray that when that storm comes that we would be standing on that solid rock, because we know you have never failed us, that you have given us grace, that you've given us mercy for what we have done, and that we have a new life in you. We pray that the whole world would hear on this Thanksgiving week just exactly who you are, and that they would see our good works and praise you in heaven. Lord, we want to praise you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves as we go forward. We pray that we would listen and obey as Brother David comes with the word, and that we would give thanks in every circumstance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have tested him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to him with broken hearts and minds.
And every one of them will say, with no exception that they find, that Jesus never fails.
Of old, he brought his people through, and then he came to show his love when he died for me and you.
And then he rose again to prove that every story had been true, and Jesus never. Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries. It's all so cut and dry. On the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You can.
powerful song. Aaron, y'all just continue to sing amazing songs each week. I know last week I didn't even need to preach after y'all sang. And I kind of feel the same way today. Jesus never fails. Amen? If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at three passages today, verses 16, 17, and 18. You'll be happy to know that these are some of the shortest passages in the Bible, but we may be here a little while today. So as we begin today, I want to ask, have you ever heard this question? Have you seen, you need to see the big picture, right? Sometimes we get focused on the things around us, the little things, and we need to see the big picture or the bigger picture of what's going on. You know, as I thought about this, I've thought of multiple sport analogies, and, you know, I've decided that I won't talk about certain football teams. And so instead of talking about a football team, let me talk to you about what happens at halftime of a football game. There is the marching band, right? Now listen, if some of you, if you say, David, we came to see the football team, not the marching band, let me just remind you that there are times in Scripture where God defeats the armies with the marching band, amen? All right, so there is a school that is known for their marching band, and that is the University of Ohio. Is Eric Rickey in the house? Did I say that right? University of Ohio? Ohio University. Ohio State. All I know is O-H, and then he'll shout out I-O. But their band is phenomenal. And they are known for making different things and pictures on the field, but they're really known for the scripted O-H-I-O on the field, right? Now, if you're on the field and you're looking, it kind of looks like a bunch of people walking around, right? But if you go up into the stands and you get higher up, you're able to see the big picture. You're able to see what is taking place. I'll give you another example. I had the opportunity to go out and catch the end of basketball practice at the University of Mobile. And I went up to the coach afterwards and I said, Darnell, I didn't realize that y'all have so many plays. I didn't realize that there was like organization to what was happening. But I got to sit up in the stands and I got to see they were running plays, right? They were doing things to get somebody open for a purpose. I just always thought that people were just trying to get open whenever you're playing basketball. Now, all these plays that they were working on and running in practice has led them to a 6-1 record at the University of Mobile this year. So I say all that to tell you that there is a bigger picture. There's a purpose of what is taking place. Sometimes we have to get up high to see what's taking place. Now, today, my prayer is that we'll see the big picture of what God is doing. That we'll keep the big picture in mind as we look at this passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, let us read from God's word. It says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now let's just be transparent. It's hard to rejoice always. Let's be transparent. It's hard to pray without ceasing. And it's really hard to give thanks in everything. Now, I want you to know that doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. So what is the big picture? What is the focus of this passage? And I believe that the foundation of this passage is at the very end of verse 18. It's the will of God for who? Those who are in Christ Jesus. What is the foundation of this passage? It's those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, we must recognize that what does this mean to be in Christ Jesus? Now, first off, I think of this word in, to be in Christ, in, I-N. If you are in a severe storm, they want you to get what? Indoors. They want you to get inside of covering. Why? So that the storm can pass over and you can be protected because you're inside of a dwelling. When it speaks of being in Christ, it is like us being covered by Christ. It is when we recognize that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. It's when we recognize that our sin has separated us from holy God, and that the only way that we can stand in the presence of holy God is if we're covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2:24 through 25. And he himself bore our sin in his body. Listen, Jesus bore, he took on our sin upon the cross. Jesus did not deserve the death that he died. In fact, we deserve the death that he died, and because he did not deserve that death, he was able to bear our sin upon the cross. But then it says this, and I love this. You may want to underline this in your Bible. So that. What does so that mean? There is an action that is now resulting in something. Jesus is the action here, bearing our sin on the cross, with a result that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. What he's saying here is that we place our sin upon the cross, on Jesus' body on the cross, and he dies the death that we deserve, and he covers us in his righteousness. That word righteousness means rightful standing, right? So if it's righteousness, we have the rightful standing before God because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, because we're in Christ. Now, how are we able to be in Christ? Now, I could give you scripture all throughout the New Testament to explain to you how we can be in Christ, but today I just want to simply look at Hebrews 2:14 through 18. One of my favorite passages, and I just want to look at this because there's two action points here. There's an action in verse 14, and there's an action down in verse 17. In verse 14 and in verse 17, it says this. I'll start with verse 14. Since children share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise also partook of the same. If you go down to verse 17, he had to be made like his brethren in all things. What do we see this action? This action is that Jesus stepped down from heaven. He came to this earth as a baby born of Mary, born in a manger, or placed in a manger, excuse me, born basically in a place where they would hold the animals. And then he was placed in a manger. He lived a perfect life. And then he died on the cross for you and for me. Verse 14 and 17 give us this action that Jesus took on our behalf, that he would empty himself, as Philippians 2 says, and take on the form of a bondservant, even to death, death on the cross. But as I shared with you earlier, actions have a result. And look at the results that take place. In verses 15 through 16, it says this, 14 through 16, it says that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Verse 16, who are these? Those that are descendants of Abraham. So what do we see is the result of him taking on flesh? The result of him taking on flesh is that he died the death that we deserved, that he rendered Satan powerless, and that he set us free from the dominion of sin, from the power of Satan. He set us free, church. How are we in Christ? Because of what Jesus has done. But then he goes on down in verse 17, speaks of the action again. And then he says, what's the result? Merciful and faithful high priest. That in the things pertaining to God, that he may make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Because Jesus took on flesh, because he died the death that we deserve, because he rose again on the third day, he has become a merciful and faithful high priest. He has made a propitiation for our sin. And he has come to our rescue in our daily life. Church, how are we able to be in Christ? We're able to be in Christ because of what Jesus did for you and for me. We're able to be in Christ because of the result that takes place from what Jesus did and trust and belief in receiving the free gift of eternal life. So when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, we must start with a foundation that we are in Christ Jesus. Because being in Christ Jesus changes everything. Let me just say it again. Being in Christ Jesus changes everything. The first thing that we see in 1 Thessalonians 5 is that we're called to rejoice always. We're called to rejoice always. Always. How many of you truly want to rejoice always? Right? Now, we may want to in our heart because we know, but how often do we do that? The only way that we can rejoice always is when we are looking at the big picture. Think about that for a moment. Go back to the marching band on of Ohio State, not the University of Ohio. Ohio State. If you're down low and you're looking at individual people, you don't see what's happening. But if you're up high, you can see the big picture of what's taking place. Church, if we get down low and look at every circumstance of our life, we miss the big picture of what's taking place. And so we miss rejoicing always. There's multiple passages that we could go to, but I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, this passage is jam-packed with truth. Now, all passages are jam-packed with truth, but this one is just overflowing with truth here. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Man, this is awesome. Let's just go back to the first verse. You can just look at the word since. Since we have been justified by faith, what happens because of that? We have peace with God. We see that we have peace with God because of being justified by faith. Then Paul gives this series of things that take place. Because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've obtained access into the grace. We can stand in that grace, and we rejoice in hope. But then it says this in verse 3. It says, but not only rejoicing in the hope that we have, but rejoicing in the suffering. How are we able to rejoice in the suffering? And here's what it says. It says, because we know. Go back to verse 2 for me, or verse 3. There it is. Verse 3. It says, not only this, but we exalt or rejoice, exalt in our tribulation, knowing. Because we know, we can rejoice. But let me ask you this question. How do we know? How do we know? Well, God gives us that in verse 5 at the very end. The foundation of us knowing is the second part of verse 5. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Because God's love is unconditional, agape, greater than we could ever fathom, and it's been poured into our hearts, we are able to know that suffering does something for us, that it produces something. You say, David, how does God's love help us know? Well, God's love was demonstrated by sending Christ to the cross even when we didn't deserve it. You want to know how big God's love is? It's greater than we could ever fathom that he would literally let his son die on the cross for you and for me. He takes that love and he pours that into our hearts so that we would know that suffering produces something. But that love is so big and so great that Paul even prays. In the book of Ephesians, he says, I pray that you would know what is the depth and the height and the length of God's love for you. He's praying that prayer because he recognizes that the only way that you can even scratch the surface of knowing God's love for you is by God strengthening you to be able to do that. And then we see in Romans 5 that the reason that we know that suffering produces something good in our life is because of the love of God. It's been poured out in our heart. God's love is what sent Christ to the cross. His love is what brought about salvation for us through his son. His love is what has redeemed us and covered us in Christ Jesus, all because he loves you. So because he has poured that love into our heart, we know. And what do we know? Well, then Paul gives us the series of things that we know. We know that suffering produces endurance. We know that endurance produces character. And we know that character produces or gives hope. Church, this is so beautiful because so often we're like, oh, I've just got to rejoice in my suffering. I've just got to fight through it and rejoice. But when we look at Romans 5, what we need to do is abide in God's love. And as his love is poured out deep into our hearts, we know that even though we're walking through difficult days of our life, that God is producing something in us. It's called sanctification because he loves us. You say, David, why did God allow me to go through all of this? Because he loves you. You're like, but David, you don't realize what I went through. I know. But when you recognize God's love for you, you will know that when you go through difficult times in life, he's producing something in you. To summarize Romans 5, because God's love has been poured out into our heart, we know that suffering produces endurance, character, and hope. And because we know suffering produces sanctification, we rejoice in it. But not only rejoicing in that, but we go back to the beginning, we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Church, are you rejoicing in all things? Are you allowing the love of God to saturate your heart to know that God has a perfect, perfect plan for you? The next thing that we see in this passage is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We're called to, in Christ, we're called to rejoice always. The next thing is we're called to pray without ceasing. Here's the beautiful thing about praying without ceasing. It's because of Jesus that we have access to the throne of God. It's because of the sacrifice and the blood of Christ that we are able to pray without ceasing. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by what? The blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Through the veil, that is his flesh. His flesh was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. Not only did it bring about salvation, but it's also given you the ability to go before the throne of God. Why? Because you're covered by the blood, because you're in Christ. When we look at the book of Daniel, we see this understanding. The only one who could stand before God in this vision that was given was who? It was Jesus. So the only way that we can come before the throne is when the blood of the Lamb is applied upon us, that we can come forth and cry out to God. Now, I don't know about you, but that is one of the greatest privileges that a born-again believer has, is that he has access to cry out to God. Like literally, you can pick up the phone and it is a local phone call to the Lord. The same one. The same one who said, let there be light, and light happened. The same one who said, let there be the waters on the earth, and it took place. Like, he spoke, and that had to come forth from his mouth because he is truthful and faithful. That's who he is. It's the same one that we can cry out to. Look at what it says in verse 21. It says, and since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Church, do you cry out to the Lord? Do you cry out to God? This has been purchased. This access has been purchased by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. When we're in Christ, we're covered. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. The sin has been placed upon Jesus on the cross, and he has placed his rightful standing before God upon us. You know, when we come before the throne and cry out to God, he listens, he hears what we're speaking. It is just incredible to me to know that the Creator God of the universe is listening. The last thing that we see in this passage in Christ is the foundation. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In everything, give thanks. I think it's very important to say this again. It does not say for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. It means that within each situation of our life, we are to have an attitude of thankfulness. But we can only do this when we look at the big picture. We can only do this when we are, our foundation is in Christ Jesus. When we look at all the little situations of life, we lose that ability to be thankful because we become selfish and self-focused and self-motivated and trying to just survive in this situation or that situation, or woe is me, I can't believe I'm dealing with this. But when we look at the big picture, we see what Jesus has done. We see what Jesus is doing. And we see what Jesus is going to do. Let me explain. First, we see what Jesus has done. Jesus has come to this earth and he died on the cross, rising again, offering salvation to all who receive the free gift. And church, we can be thankful in all things because we've been saved. We have something that we don't deserve. We were destined for hell, and Jesus saved us. And not just by saying, okay, you're saved, but by going to the cross, a brutal death, and being raised again on the third day. We can be thankful because at the end of the day, we have been forgiven. We can be thankful because at the end of the day, we have something that we could never earn in our own ability, in our own good works, or in our own understanding or knowledge. But not only is it what Jesus has done and the salvation that we have, but we're also thankful in what God is doing, what Jesus is doing in our life. He's sanctifying us. As we just shared, rejoice always. Why? Even in suffering. Because God is doing something. And we know that because of the love that's been poured out in our life, in our heart. God is sanctifying you through circumstances of life. What the enemy means for evil, God is using for good. You say, David, I don't like that. This is the process of sanctification. And let me tell you, we get really excited when we see the end result, right? Let me go back for a minute. As I shared with you, I won't talk about football because that could be a sore subject. But I'll just use basketball since I mentioned that a few moments ago. How many times do basketball players come off the court after practice and they're like, woo, this is awesome. Let's rejoice. Oftentimes they're like, give me like water and some food and a shower and I'm going to bed. Right? But you play how you what? No, y'all got it. Okay, you play how you practice. What happens when they win a game? What happens when they win a game? They're rejoicing. Listen, I had the opportunity just a few weeks ago to, or a week ago to see UM play South Alabama. And they beat South Alabama. And all the players came out and they were ecstatic. They were excited. But during the actual process of training, there wasn't this exuberant excitement, right? Because, but they were able to play the game this way because they had gone through the training. Church, we can be thankful in what God is doing because he's training us and growing us and sanctifying us for a purpose so that he uses us in many ways in life. That we reflect the glory of God instead of ourselves. None of us want to be like, woo, I love training. But we all love the end result. We all love the fact when all that training is used for a purpose. We can be thankful in the midst of the circumstances because God is doing something in our life. He's sanctifying us. But not only is he sanctifying us, but he's giving us divine appointments through circumstances. Listen, we can be thankful that God is opening doors for the purpose of the kingdom of God, even through our circumstances. Say somebody comes down with cancer. That's a word that when you hear that word, it just wrecks your heart. And you try to process it. And you try to think through it and you're like, I can't grasp this. But somebody who has come down with cancer may end up finding themselves at MD Anderson. And at MD Anderson, they're going to run into different doctors and nurses that they never would have ran into if it wasn't for what is happening in their life. And because they run into a doctor or nurse that they would never have ran into if it wasn't for this situation, they're now having the opportunity to share the gospel with people that they never would have come in contact with. What about in my life? I've shared with you that if I wouldn't have lost the SGA president, I never would have gone to Kennecook. Kennecook is what changed my life. Well, God changed my life through Kennecook. Then I went through their schooling. And then from there, Brother Fred called me. If I would have won SGA president, which I lost by 7 votes, not that I'm bitter, I'm excited that I lost by 7 votes. But if I would have won, then everything would have changed totally different. But God has divine purposes. Listen, I was mourning. I was like, how in the world did I lose? Well, I could tell you why I lost, but I won't go into all that here. But I was like, how did I lose? I was supposed to win. You know, all the polls were showing that I had this. There wasn't polls then, but we knew that. But because I lost, God had a plan. He was doing something. I'm standing here today because I lost by 7 votes. And church, we've got to say we can be thankful in all things because God is doing something. He is sanctifying us and he's given us divine opportunities to share the love of Christ, to show people the truth. That the reason that we can have joy in the midst of this is because the love of God that has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit. But not only is God saying, do we have thankfulness in everything because of what God has done, what Jesus has done, and because of what he is doing, but we also have thankfulness in our heart because of what he is going to do. And let me just tell you, Jesus is coming back. Can I just tell you, because Jesus is coming back, one of two things will happen. We will either breathe our last, and it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or he will return. Now, he's going to return. I just don't know whether I'm going to go up in breathing my last or going up when the trumpet blast or the shofar. I heard a pastor say one time, You know, when the trumpet toots, I'm going to scoot. Well, I guess that's true. But he is going to return. And so let me tell you, whether we breathe our last or whether we go up in the rapture, there is a day coming where these circumstances will end. Your circumstances are temporal. And because they're temporal, we can be thankful in the midst of them. Look at what Romans 8, 16 through 18 says. And if you were here on Tuesday, you heard Keith Nicholson read these verses. They were written in Mark Nicholson's Bible at the very front. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to even be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Whew. Church, this Thanksgiving, we can be thankful because of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. So I want to close with this. Believe it or not, we are 10 years from the release of a movie that I'm sure you've at least heard about. If you haven't heard about it, then I'm about to tell you the ending, so you may want to close your ears. 10 years ago, a movie came out called Frozen. How many of y'all have seen Frozen? Okay, good, because I'm about to tell you the end. I see some not raising their hands. I need to pray for y'all that you aren't mad at me for telling you what happens. But this movie, Frozen, came out. And you know, my daughter is now 11, so it would have come out when she was that two? No, one, two, something like that. And so she was always singing the songs, you know, Let It Go and all that stuff. So I probably watched the movie about 200 times. That may be an understatement. The very first time we watched it in the theaters. And I'll never forget, I was like, oh, this is like a one of those princess movies. And here is the prince that's coming in to save the day. His name was Hans, the prince of the Southern Isles. And he shows up and Anna just falls in love with Hans. But there was a problem. Hans had a different motive. None of us knew that. You know, we're seeing this Disney princess movie come along and everything's going on. And all of a sudden, when he had the opportunity to save everything, he denied saving Anna and ultimately Elsa because he wanted to rule the kingdom. He was the bad guy. He was the villain. The whole time we were like, okay, he's the prince that has come, and now he's the villain. Can I tell you that I've watched it? And by the way, just those that didn't watch it, he gets defeated and everything, you know, happily ever after, right? But can I tell you, I've watched it 200 times. And I will never be able to watch it the same way that I did the first time. Why? Because I know what happens. I know the big picture. I know what takes place. When you truly know the end, you can never see the picture the same way. Church, I'm here to tell you that you could think of many movies that you could have that example of one. Maybe it's your favorite movie. You can never watch it the same because you know what's going to happen. You know. But is it not interesting that as a born-again believer, we know what's going to happen, but yet we lose sight of it so often? Church, we know the end. We know what God is doing because he gave us his word. Now, we know from a 3,000-foot approach. Sometimes we don't know exactly what he's doing as he's carving in our life the flesh out of us. But we know from a 30,000 foot approach, looking at the big picture, what God is doing. We know what's going to happen. And can I tell you, God wins every time. We know that Jesus has defeated Satan upon the cross when he rose again on the third day. We know that he has destroyed the one who held us captive. And we know that he's returning again, and there's a day coming that sanctification will end, and there will be a time of glorification forever and ever and ever. If we keep our eyes focused and knowing the end, then we can rejoice always. If we keep our eyes focused and know the end, we're going to recognize the precious privilege of prayer. If we keep our eyes open and know the end, in everything we can give thanks. And can I just say this? None of that depends upon you. It all depends upon the foundation of this verse. You being in Christ Jesus.